We have a phenomenal guest joining us in just a few minutes after the news break. Carol Ash, who we visited with in the past. Dr. Carol Ash, pulmonologist, DeBoer Heart and Lung Center. The topic is extremely important, lung health. And I love the outline that we're going to approach it from a myth or fact standpoint. That's coming up. Triple threat, pulmonary diseases, sleep medicine, critical care, medicine board certified. Dr. Carol Ash is next. We are back. It is 6 minutes past the hour. It is my pleasure to welcome back the distinguished Dr. Carol Ash, today's guest on DeBoer Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Carol Ash, pulmonologist and board certified, as I mentioned right before the break, in pulmonary diseases, sleep medicine, critical care medicine, three board certifications. Dr. Ash earned her medical degree and completed a residency in internal medicine at UMDNJ School of Osteopathic Medicine in Stratford, New Jersey. After residency, Dr. Ash completed a fellowship in pulmonary medicine and critical care medicine at UMDNJ School of Osteopathic Medicine. And Dr. Ash's special interests include diagnosing and treating sleep disorders. And DeBoer, we've talked about it a lot, and I know that a number of our listeners have been through the entire sleep diagnostic program. It's one of the finest in the country. Dr. Ash, welcome back. Great to have you.
Good morning, Harry. How are you today?
Outstanding. Even better now. We have such an important topic because if you can't breathe, you've got a world of hurt. So lung health is so serious, so important. And I love our format because we've never done it before. We maybe have had like one question. Hey, Dr. Ash, myth or fact? But the whole format is going to be myth or fact. So let me get right into it. Dr. Ash, myth or fact? Pulmonary hypertension can lead to heart problems, and then get into what is pulmonary hypertension and how does it negatively impact the human body.
Harry, I love that you started with that question because it really opens a whole big box, but that is a fact. Pulmonary hypertension will result in heart problems. So most people just are more familiar with the fact that you could have hypertension where we check the blood pressure in your arms and tell you that your blood pressure is elevated, and then we diagnose hypertension. But you can have hypertension in your lungs. There's a separate vascular system, and when that pressure increases in your lungs, it can lead to heart problems. And the reason for that is, you know, there's several different causes that the blood pressure will go up, but it is associated with the blood vessels remodeling or changing. You end up with impaired gas exchange, and eventually what that does is overload the heart, and specifically the right side of the heart. And you know, the right side and the left side work together. The left side is the main pumping engine that sends all the blood out to all the organs. But if you have that pulmonary hypertension, it strains the right side of the heart that receives all the blood when it's returning from the organs after they've all been oxygenated. And it can do things like causing valve disorders. That right-sided strain can subsequently strain the left side of the heart and put you at risk for a cardiac events. And it's just something that you do not want to ignore. So yes, that is an absolute fact.
All right, so I'm marking it down. That I'll circle each one. That's fact. We visited not all that long ago. Maybe it was a year ago, maybe just under. And I told you about a friend of mine that when vaping first started coming of age, he walked into my studio. I see this blue light at the end of this thing that's in his mouth. This white cloud is there. And I said to him during a break, "What is that?" He said, "This is vaping. It's safe." I said, I don't know what's in that. I don't know at what temperature it created that vapor or whatever this is. I said, but I guarantee you, when truth catches up with what you think is the truth now, that vaping might turn out to even be worse than smoking. I don't know why I had that early insight. I thought that because it was being billed as safe, that it wasn't, and it was the wild, wild west. It wasn't regulated, and all the flavors and all this stuff. So, you know, we've caught up with how bad it is and popcorn lung and all this stuff. Smoking, we know. So here it is, myth or fact, Smoking.
Well, Harry,
oh, go ahead.
It's in fact, smoking will and vaping will equally damage your lungs. So, Harry, if your listeners leave here with one thing, please, please, please stop vaping. It's bad. In fact, it's the vaping causes pulmonary injury. It's toxic. It's not benign. And what happens is the vaping is going to irritate your airways. It's going to cause inflammation. It's going to cause airway resistance. And it can lead to all kinds of known pulmonary problems, things that we call EVALI, which means e-cigarette vaping product use associated lung injury, which can be lethal. And if you're someone who has any underlying lung problems and you're vaping at all, such as asthma, it can profoundly exacerbate your asthma and get into real trouble very quickly. It'll cause immune suppression. It reduces the ability of your lungs to effectively clear your mucus, and it will even damage your DNA. So, result in recurrent respiratory infections. So it is not benign. It is bad. And, you know, everyone thinks it's kind of so sexy, you know, with the vaping and the puff of smoke that you see. There's nothing sexy about it. And when you get older, you'll regret having done this. So please, kids and parents, do not vape. It's a problem.
Now, we know the smoking and we now know the vaping. I think there's still more, because there's still studies, obviously, on the ill effects of vaping. Do we know enough now that vaping is actually potentially worse than smoking?
Yeah, you know, I would say it's probably worse than smoking, because what I have found with my patient population, Harry, they're getting these cigarettes from all over the world. And, you know, I've seen some really significant exacerbations of respiratory problems. And you just have to wonder what's in that vaping device that is contributing. You know, that's the problem. You know, you just don't know where you're getting the product from. So I would say it is probably worse than cigarettes. And again, the studies, as you're suggesting, that we still don't know all the long-term risks yet. You know, we thought asbestos was benign, and look at what we know about that now. So it's just not worth it. Do something else. Chew some gum.
You mentioned, Dr. Ash, I'm going to do a sidebar real quick. You mentioned the asbestos. You could come in contact with asbestos 50 or 60 years ago and be asymptomatic until you're not, correct?
Correct. That's absolutely correct. And, you know, I remember when I started working in an area that was around the old John Mansville asbestos factory, and people would talk about they were little kids and it was snowing in July, and they thought it was so fun to go run out in the asbestos dust that was coming from the factory. And I used to say, oh my gosh, what we know now, what a unfortunate thing, the kids thinking it was all fun. Well, this is the same thing with vaping, right? Right now it's all the fad and the rage. It's a problem. And you know, years from now, the consequences of it are yet to be determined and seen.
How bad is that popcorn lung that can happen from vaping?
Well, see, you know, look, you have two lungs, and you got to live your entire life with it, right? So once you start to do things that are damaging your organs prematurely, right, you're going to get to a point that you're just going to progress with the aging process, and breathing is critical, right? If oxygen is the key fuel to the body, so it's a significant problem, and so you don't want to do anything, you know, preserve yourself. You want to live a long and healthy life, and so that popcorn lung is a problem. It really is, and you could have people that will result in sudden death from these types of lung problems related to vaping. So again, not benign at all.
To our listeners, as you continue this half hour to listen to Dr. Carol Ash, pulmonologist at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, to make an appointment, because you're going to hear information that may just cause you to do what I'm suggesting, and that is to pick up the phone, make an appointment, 609-621-2080. That's simple to do if you'd like to speak live on the phone, 609-621-2080, or digitally, any digital device, your smartphone, laptops, desktops, iPads, whatever, demanddeborah.org. Myth or fact, Dr. Ash, if you don't smoke, you can still get lung diseases. And what are the risk factors for lung disease?
Well, Harry, that is an absolute myth, right? So if you don't smoke, we even know people that don't smoke can end up with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. People sometimes are more familiar with it. We describe it as emphysema or chronic bronchitis. And that COPD means the same thing, right? It incorporates both of those disorders. So you can get COPD and you can get a whole host of other respiratory illnesses from non-smoking causes, right? And what would they be? Well, they include air pollution, you know, and then there's occupational hazards. You might be exposed to dust, fumes, or chemicals at work. And even secondhand tobacco smoke can be a problem. And then there's people that will have a history of childhood infections. They may have exposure to tuberculosis. Even poor nutrition and genetic factors will lead to lung disease. And Harry, I want to really stress, you know, you mentioned several times about DeBoer Heart and Lung Center. This is a unique facility. What we now know about COPD, right? We used to think that COPD was just a lung disorder, right? And the goal for addressing disorders like COPD. And by the way, half of people that have COPD are not smokers. But our goal at DeBoer Health and Lung Center is we want you to live long and we want you to live well. And traditionally what physicians do when we address problems like COPD, we our measures of success are, did we identify, diagnose, and manage your disease? And managing your disease means we've reduced and we've controlled your symptoms and we've prevented any exacerbations from happening, such as hospitalizations or needing to go on antibiotics or steroids. But what the studies show is that may sound like a victory to us, but we know that when you have a disorder like COPD or other respiratory disorders, that it goes beyond your lungs, right? And so recent studies are challenging our thinking and saying, you know, as a physician, if you've gotten your patients to stability, it really has no bearing on their survival. And what we have discovered, that what is critical for your survival is identifying the comorbid or the coexisting cardiovascular disease. And without that identification, that pulmonary disorder will progress despite what we would call a clinical control. So you have to take all the elements into account. So DeBoer Heart and Lung Center is uniquely positioned to integrate that lung and that cardiac assessment to make sure that you not only have clinical stability, that dual approach, again, goes far beyond the lungs, and we're able to aggressively identify and manage your cardiovascular disease. So you're not just living well, you're living longer. And that's really key. Going forward, if you have a respiratory problem, you have to realize you probably have other conditions. And the number one condition that will impact your ability to live well and long is that comorbid identification, diagnosis, and management of the heart problems as well. So it's pretty exciting to be a doctor, to be able to practice in an organization that can do that for patients.
What a clinic you are putting on, Dr. Ash. We're going to take the one and only break that we take during DeBoer Heart and Lung Center Presents today. Dr. Carol Ash, pulmonologist. Now, Dr. Ash has answered the first part of my next question because it just naturally came up within the answer to a previous question. So does air quality affect lung health? We know because Dr. Ash just told us. So that's a fact. It's not a myth. But I'm going to follow up with this when we come back. If you have lung disease, what can you do to protect your lungs from various pollutants? Back with Dr. Ash right after this. A reminder to make an appointment at DeBoer Heart and Lung Center for this or the other, you know, incredible work that they do in heart, lung, sleep diagnostic, all of it. There's people that tell me that they can't sleep. I mean, obviously sleep, restorative sleep is important for your health. So they have all these facilities that can be very, very helpful to you and yours. But you have to call 609-621-2080, or you can also make an appointment digitally at demanddeboer.org. And you'll see, I think it's a big red speed button block. It'll say make an appointment, schedule appointment, and you'll be in good hands whether you call or whether you go onto the website, demanddeboer.org. Back with Dr. Carol Ash in just a little bit. Don't go away. Much more important content on this topic that we're centered on today on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, lung health, and we're doing it under a myth and fact, myth versus fact framework. Back right after this. It's 26 minutes past the hour. Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, Dr. Carol Ash, and the topic this half hour is lung health and a variety of really important, some of them almost moment of truth questions, myth versus fact. So we know, because Dr. Ash covered it in the last segment about air quality affecting lung health, so we know that's a fact. If you have lung disease, Dr. Ash, what can a listener right now do to protect their lungs from different pollutants?
Well, Howard, there's actually a lot that your listeners can do. So as you said, we've identified, it's a fact, air quality is a major risk for your lungs. So what are you going to do about it? Well, you have to recognize, what do we mean when we say air quality? And we're talking about outdoor and indoor pollution. And you can, you know, pretty much recognize that if there's a day where they're saying, you know, there's a lot of particulate matter in the air, you know, last year there was those fires in Canada. Those are things that if you have any lung problems, those days where the air pollution is higher, it's going to be a problem for you. But also indoor pollution and also occupational exposures to dust and fumes. So those are the risks you want to be aware of, right? So what do you do? When there's a high pollution day, you know, stay indoors and avoid going out if you can. And obviously, that's not always possible. But nowadays, everybody's familiar with these masks. You can get one of those N95 masks very easily if you do have to go out, to just limit your exposure. You also want to modify your commuting routes. You know, there's lots of industry, and if you're traveling to work or traveling where you need to go past an industrial facility, then you might want to find a different route to work. Leave a little early so you could, you know, change your commuting path. You also want to get, for indoor, there's portable air cleaners that you could use that have HEPA filters. And these have been shown to really reduce the inflammation that these pollutants can cause and improve the outcomes for your children and for cardiovascular health. So really important if you're living in an area where there might be pollution. And, you know, people forget about their air conditioning system and their vents and the ducts. Clean them out. You can't imagine the dust and the particulate matter that is living in there that's being circulated in your home. So clean out your HVAC systems. And, you know, it's not uncommon, especially with people, you know, immigrating to the U.S. where they're coming from other places where they use what we call biomass fuels in the home to do cooking. And those biomass fuels could really injure lungs. So, you know, people want to be mindful of that. And one thing that people can do that they would never consider is your diet and supplements. So we know that the Mediterranean diet protects against inflammation. So eat a healthy diet. It's a simple thing, right? And you can take vitamin supplements, vitamin C, D, E, and omega-3s have been shown to be very protective against the irritation from pollutants. So just some simple things that you can do to reduce your risk.
Lung health is the topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Carol Ash, again, to make an appointment, you can call 609-621-2080 or on the web at demanddeborah.org. Is this a myth or a fact that the quality of sleep affects lung and heart health?
Sorry, this is my favorite subject, and it's a fact. Sleep affects your heart. So sleep quality, what we know, just your sleep quality alone, if, you know, there's two parts. There's the amount of sleep you're supposed to get, and you really need to keep that regular and consistent schedule. And when you're not keeping a regular schedule, you're not getting the right amount, it's very stressful on the body, and it's going to release all kinds of inflammatory substances. In fact, we know the day after daylight savings time, there's so many people all losing an hour simultaneously, the rate of heart attacks goes up by 8%. So it is very stressful when you're not getting the sleep you need. And for some people, they have a sleep disorder and they don't even know it. But if you're feeling tired during the day, your sleep is really restless, you just never seem to be able to get enough sleep, you have to consider there's a problem and you really should get it investigated. Because not only from just poor quality sleep, but sleep disorders can lead to a high level of progression of cardiac disease, cardiac events, heart attacks and strokes, obesity. So it's just the problem with it, it's so stressful on your system when you're not getting sleep. Sleep is for rest and digest and the reset button. And if you're not hitting the reset button every night, your heart is going to pay the price. So yes, sleep affects your heart.
This I know you deal with because there are folks that they're prescribed medication from you, their doctor. They start to feel better. And then what do? They stop taking it. Talk to anybody out there that is in the business of starting and stopping without communicating with their healthcare provider.
Well, Harry, that's another myth. And I'm so glad you brought this question up because you should not stop your pulmonary medications when you feel better. It's a myth. It's not advisable. So when patients stop their pulmonary medications, they really can cause exacerbations. They can see loss of disease control. And sometimes it can be difficult to get things back under control. So, the point of those medications is to get you to stability. So if you're feeling well, the medicines are working. And typically when we stop medications, we want to do it gradually. We want to do it individualized for you, and it really needs to be under close supervision. So you want to reach out to your healthcare provider and make sure that you're not doing something that's going to lead to worsening symptoms or worse yet, exacerbation and progression of your disease by stopping those medications. So that's an absolute myth.
Here is the next question. Myth or fact? Exercise helps maintain lung health and function.
Exercise, it's a fact. And the best thing you can do for yourself, not just for lung function, but your overall health, is to get out there and exercise. You know, you want to make sure you have good cardiovascular health before you start any exercise program. But exercise, what people don't know about exercise, exercise will maintain your lung function and it will boost the immune response and the anti-inflammatory response, which is always a good thing. And it actually slows age-related decline. So yes, exercise is fantastic. Get out there, start. You're never too old to begin.
I can't believe it, but we're in the two-minute drill. Myth or fact, shortness of breath is normal as you age.
That's a myth. It's not normal as you age, and it really should prompt an evaluation. You could have COPD, heart failure. It could be from deconditioning, inactivity, obesity, anemia, lots of different things that will cause it that would deserve an evaluation. So that's a myth.
Myth or fact, a persistent or worsening cough is normal during cold and flu season.
That's a myth. Most coughs will be self-limited, but if the cough is still there after 3 weeks, you want to go get a check. And beyond 8 weeks, we're talking about trouble. Look for those red flag symptoms. If you're coughing up blood, there's shortness of breath associated with it, fever, weight loss, you really need to get it checked.
Myth or fact, unexplained fatigue comes with aging.
No, that's a myth. You do not have fatigue as you age. It's not normal. It might be because you're getting frail and you're deconditioned. That's where exercise will help. You got to look for the illnesses that may be contributing. Poor sleep, as we mentioned, depression, anxiety, anemia, COPD, and my favorite, sleep apnea, and even heart failure. And, you know, unfortunately, some people, it might mean that cancer or something more serious. So, no. That's a myth. Unexplained fatigue is not normal as we age.
Myth or fact, recurrent respiratory infections are nothing to worry about.
No, that's a myth. It might be an underlying condition that you really need to check and modifiable risk factors that can lead to serious underlying disease. So you want to check that. Asthma, allergic rhinitis, gastric acid reflux, bronchiectasis, and immune deficiency are a few of the things that you'd want to be looking into.
Final question, Dr. Ash. Myth or fact, if you aren't wheezing, it's not asthma.
That is a myth, Harry, because asthma can be silent. And so asthma is airway narrowing that's variable. So you could have asthma. Even a doctor could examine you and not hear the noises we look for, that wheezing that would tell you have asthma. And some people could have other symptoms, chest tightness or shortness of breath or cough. So that's a myth, Harry. And if you're not wheezing, you could have asthma. So if you're having those other symptoms, you want to get that checked.
Bonus question, because I want to give you an opportunity, Dr. Dr. Ash, for a closing comment about lung health. Anything you'd like to leave your listeners with?
Yeah, I think, again, the most important thing is if you're having trouble with your breathing, there's solutions, right? And the point I made, I can't stress it enough. You have to think beyond your lungs. We traditionally say many of these respiratory illnesses are in the domain of the lung doctor, but it's much more than that. We now know we call it a systemic disease, you know, specifically a disease like COPD. It affects the whole body, and you want to look for, most importantly, that cardiovascular disease. And again, it's been such a pleasure to be here at the Bora Heart and Lung Center, because I know that we can have that dual role for patients. And that's really exciting to see your patients get well and live well and live long. And so you know, please come see us. We'd love to help you if you're having problems. And Harry, thank you for the opportunity to talk to your listeners this morning.
There's a career in talk radio waiting for you, Dr. Ash, just any time of your choosing. Just an observation. You're such a delight to do the program with.
Well, my pleasure, Harry. You make it easy.
Thank you so much. To make an appointment with Dr. Ash and the great team at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, it is simple to do. 609-621-2080 if you like to call and speak to a person. And if you want to do it through your digital devices, the website is demanddeborah.org. Either way is just as effective. Great to be with you, Dr. Ash, and thank you for the really important clinic that you put on today. We appreciate it and you.
Thank you. Thank you, Harry. You have a great day, and your listeners, too.
You, too. Until we meet again.